QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Pry, KSXQ, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. At 1900 hours local time on the K6BB repeater at 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Okay, a couple of announcements. Coming up this Saturday, which will be the 30th of March, the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club has their monthly meeting at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station in Big Bear Lake. They have a tech hour that will start at 5:30, so it'll run from 5:30 to 6:30. 6:30, the general meeting starts and runs till 8, sometime 7:30, whatever we get done. Anyway, that'll be this Saturday at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station. All right, topic for the evening. We'll be continuing and probably wrapping up this evening our DSP information school source explanation, whatever, by Jim Lloyd, KJ6 KDL. Appreciate all his work on that. And great information, so we're looking forward to that this evening, Jim. Appreciate you doing that. However, first, let's get started with our brief roster, starting with WB6CLZ Mike, if you can copy, in Placentia.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is WB6CLZ in Placentia.
All right, Mike, real solid into the repeater. Hope you can hear us over the other repeater that's coming from south of the border. Next, I have WB6CIN Cindy.
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
Hey, good evening, Cindy. Thanks for being out there. You and Mike, thanks for joining us. Next, I have KA6CIA George in Lucerne Valley.
Good evening, Tom. KA6CIA.
And good evening there, George. Great signal in the repeater, real solid, like you're right next door. Let's see, next I have is KJ6HCS Mike. And nothing there from Mike. How about WA6ITC, Rod?
Yeah, from Mike Williams, WA6ITC.
And good evening there, Rod. Glad to have you out there. Next I have, and KJ6FIL Mike from Redlands.
Good evening all, KJ6FIL.
And good evening there, Mike. Glad to have you out there with us this evening. And how about KJ6KDL Jim and KJ6KDK Rosemary?
This is KJ6KDK.
And KDL.
Well, good evening there, Jim and Rosemary. And Rosemary, thanks for all the help you did with that presentation for COAD last night, the CERT meeting. Jim, and thanks for all you're doing, and we'll get started here in a bit. Next, I have W6GZI. Let's see if Frank's out there yet. No, I don't think he's up here yet for the season. Next, I have KI6IQA Kelly.
Yes, sir. KI6IQA.
And good evening there, Kelly. Thanks for checking in from Eastern Big Bear. How about K9AOG Steven? Nothing there from Steven. How about K6GBL Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is Ron, K6GBL, Green Valley Lake. And the interference from down south is almost unbearable. I probably won't be listening to you tonight.
Yeah, I understand. I've just got a couple of phone calls, Ron, so sorry about that. And it sounds like they're just keep cranking up the power. So we need to send a letter to the White House. I don't know. Somebody's house. All right. Thanks, Ron. Next, I have 86PL Harold.
Evening, 86PL.
Good to have you with us, Harold. Thanks for being out there. Let's see here. Next, I have KJ6RAY. Ray, can you copy us out there? Okay, I don't hear Ray out there. Might be the interference. How about KJ6PYV Dave? Okay, don't hear Dave out there this evening. How about W6JLM Judith? W6KMM Ken.
Good evening, Tom. This is W6JLM and also check in W6KMM. We will both be listening tonight. Have a good evening.
All right, Ken, Judith, glad to have you out there listening. Appreciate that. Next, I have K2BBL, Alan in Moonridge. Okay, don't hear Alan out there this evening. How about K6YNW, Chris, Lower Desert?
Howdy. How do you read me, K6YNW?
Chris, you're solid in the repeater. Good signal. Glad to have you out there. Hopefully the other interference isn't going to bother you too much. Next, I have W6POO, Chip.
Evening, Tom, and rest of the group. This is W6POO. Excuse me. Something in throat. And ready to go tonight, W6POO.
Okay, Chip, you're solid in there, too. Great signal. Next, I have KD6LAN Bill.
Yeah, good evening, Tom and the group. And be prepared. I'm taking a vacation from the Red Monster tonight, so stand by for a lot of questions. KD6LAN.
Okay, Bill. Yeah, sounds like we got a lot of noise in the repeater, and I think it's just from that issue we have down south. Thanks, Bill. Glad to have you out there. Let's see if Ron's out there, WA6HF. And yeah, nothing heard from Ron. How about WA6DLB Donna? And nothing heard. How about NQ7RD? Let's see if we can get Rick out there. Moving on to the next sheet, I have AE6CK Victor. Can you copy?
Good evening, Tom and Vinette. Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
And good evening there, Victor. Glad to have you out there from Santa Fe Springs. Next, I have KA6ROD Rod from Moonridge. Nothing here there, and we'll see if KB6LTY Christie's out there. Nothing there. How about W6JET, Rob? Well, that's pretty much the list. Might have a lot of interference out there this evening. Anybody else out there would like to check in as a guest, please come back to KF6Q.
KK6RAY.
And good evening there, Ray. Yeah, guess we didn't get you on the first call. Glad to have you out there. Anybody else? All right, well, that pretty much wraps it up, I think, for the guest check-in. Mike, WB6CLZ, how you doing out there? And if you got a good copy, how we doing with our solar weather and any DXGAP?
We're not going to talk about any DX tonight because I haven't played with any DX, but Space Weather is reporting a sunspot number of a measly 56 and a solar flux index of 93 solar flux units. You know, the sun is very quiet right now, so we're just on a wait-and-see type thing. You know, hopefully we'll start working towards the double peak that some people are reporting. And that's about all I've got on DX and space weather tonight, Tom. Let's ask out there and see if anybody else has been getting any good DX coming their way. Back to you, Tom. Oh, by the way, the Mexican repeater is just about unbearable here, too. But I do have Echolink as a backup, so we'll keep going. Back to you.
Okay, Mike, thanks for that. And we'll see if anybody else has got any DX. But I think our biggest issue tonight is that repeater. And not sure what's going on out there. But, hey, we'll see if we can work around that for the moment. Anybody else out there, any good DX to report? Please come back. All right, well, I think that summed it up. I don't think there is any. Anyway, well, let's see here. Got a couple things here. Of course, Jim is going to lead off here with some stuff in just a moment. And the April QST, of course, came some time ago. Been online available, too, for what now, maybe a week or two. But, Mike, there's something really interesting about this April issue of QST. Do you want to... delve into that a little bit?
As you know, and as maybe some of you know, in the April issue of QST, they always have at least one April Fool's article. Jim kind of pointed out one of them to me, and as you know, I'm not the most technical guy in the world, but I can usually figure this stuff out. I mean, this one is about a 2-meter cupole, and he starts out, it's by Eric Nichols, KL7AJ, and he says, "What's all the buzz about this J-pole? Is there something special about the letter J that makes it radiate better than any other letter? I think not. I'm particularly fond of the letter Q." And it goes on from there. Well, we kind of guess that that one really isn't exactly copacetic and what we're looking for out of QST. So I think that's one of them right there. That's on page 33 of the April QST. And the other one, they kind of snuck in here on page 64. It's about an all-electric tower. Well, it sounds good until you get down to the part where it says the device does have a few flaws. To achieve a height of 65 feet, it requires 200 billion volts, which produces a rather loud, continuous sound of lightning striking all about the neighborhood. Well, I think we found the other one. So, yeah, that's just something that if anybody's ever reading the April issue of QST and isn't aware of that, it's a gotcha sometimes. Back to you, Tom.
You know, and actually, of course, good to have a little humor on the technical side even. And I think that it was pointed out to me with the Q-pole, got an email, I don't know, a week or so ago from somebody, and they had never heard that. Of course, they had a backup, wanted to know some more information about it. Of course, I had not received that email. I got another one that came after it at the same time, which basically realized that, yeah, that was a little bit of a jokester from the ARRL QST of April. So, April Fool's QST. Always good to have a couple. But the rest of it, I think the rest is all legit. Well, anyway, on to Jim. And Jim, maybe a quick summary, and then let's delve into what we have to wrap up this DSP and audio and microphones and speakers and oh my.
Thank you, Tom. Yeah, the last 2 weeks, at least the major part of it, we've been focusing on a branch off of the March QST, page 76, called On the Air. And I expounded on that, talking about how to make your voice clearer during a transmission. And it ranged everywhere from practicing your vocalizations to actual hardware replacement. And for people who have spent enough money on their radio, the hardware investment is most likely not necessary except for possibly buying a different microphone, and Bob Heil has the market on that. Not the total corner, but he's the guy to go to if you want to get something that you know will work. And ironically, the April QST on page 74 has an article called Managing Your Modulation, and it talks almost specifically about using your input gain to drive output. In the event of AM, it would be power modulation by amplitude. But it shows some graphs and some examples of what happens if you go a little bit too far and use more gain than the radio is capable of doing, and what the side effects would be. So now we're going to look at the other side. So your radio is receiving, and you want better audio because you're getting different kinds of sound, maybe during contesting, or maybe because the radio you bought has an insufficient speaker because it happened to fit the casing. So that's where we're going to go from here.
Well, good information there, Jim. And also, maybe while we wrap that up later on, also let's add in the headphones, as some of us use headphones a lot too to actually get a pretty good sound and also isolate background noise. So, but I think we'll let that go till last. Well, good information there. Yeah, you know what? If the guy on the other end isn't really doing all that well with his sound, possibly we can tweak it up on this end. So, good deal there. Mike, if you can copy out there, anything else to add to that? Over to you, and then we'll send it back to Jim. KF6Q.
The repeater has gone away for a while, so hopefully they stay away. Yeah, I have an example of that later on if you want to do it. I have a little Elecraft K3 that has a 1-inch speaker in it that does not do very well. But when you put it on the comm speakers, it's a whole different ballgame. Hey, back to you, Tom.
Well, good deal. And that's, of course, you know, one thing to remember is that even with HTs or with any mobile, actually just about any ham radio, they're not designed as basically audio gear per se. You have a stereo or some kind of home stereo system. Obviously, your speakers are separate because they're going to give you great sound that way. They do not cram them into that box, the receiver, amp, etc. But with ham radio, it's all compact, all in one unit. So they do throw a speaker in there so we can hear, but always more that we can do about that, and that's where we're going to head tonight. Well, anyway, Jim, back to you from KF6Q Tech Tuesday and the group.
Thank you, Tom. So now we're moving into this speaker range, and just to overlap slightly, I had an interesting time searching around for frequency response that was coming up close to the end of last Tech Tuesday. What frequency range is good for amateur radio? And there was some studies done, and I did find a Wikipedia audio frequency link, and I'm a little suspicious because they're using binary values, 16, 32, 512, 20, 48, 8192. So I thought it went more with frequencies like the keys of C, 261 and two-thirds hertz, up to 880 for the C notes. And so anyway, if you're interested in search for Wikipedia and audio frequency, you might trip across that one. And they claim that 512 hertz to 2048 hertz defines human speech intelligibility. That kind of fits my range, where I've heard that it is somewhere in the 300 hertz to 2500 hertz, and that's where most of our radios perform. So based on that, if I was to get an extra speaker to add on to my existing radio to give me a different sound because I don't think that my radio has adequate audio response for one reason or another, inadequate size, or just placement. I mount the radio in the car, and radio's in the dash now, and I don't hear it. I'm going to look for a speaker in that range. Good aftermarket speakers would be ones that you would find in older, larger size TV cabinets, not these flat panel LCDs. And there are some that we even talked about last time. Motorola is known to make passive speakers that just sound good for voice. Classic AM radio. Now we're going to move on to something else. I'll take a break.
And Jim, real quick, you're mentioning Motorola, and we know that Heil is actually out there with some great stuff too. Real quick, before we don't want to sidebar too long with this, are they still doing Ham Nation, and does he talk about his stuff on that?
Ham Nation is on. I have unfortunately taken it out of my time for listening with my schedule. I haven't listened to it for about a year, but he is on there with Joe Walsh, yes, the musician who is a ham radio operator, and they do their deal. So, yes, and Bob Heil has tuned his microphones and he has speakers and headphones, almost specifically headphones, in the audio output for putting over your ear, and we'll cover that as well.
Okay, good deal. And I'm not sure if who else is still in there. I know that Leo Laporte was in there from time to time, and of course Gordon West, always in there. So anyway, yeah, anybody who would like to get more information from those guys or listen in, and I believe that's on once a week, Mike, Jim. Anyway, just Google up Ham Nation. It's usually a cast over the internet. Good information there, so just a little add to that. Well, anyway, back to you, Jim, and let's carry on.
Okay, for those of you interested, the Leo Laporte audio cast series is on TWIT, twit.tv, for This Week in Tech. And for Ham Nation, I believe it's /HN for Ham Nation. So now we're looking for speakers. It is quite possible that your device, and I think Mike has this issue with his smaller KX3, the amplifier section is not really adequate for playing a loud volume. And an amplified speaker, which you can buy that has obviously powered, to drive the output power would then be another item to, and the idea is, If your hearing is starting to go, you might need more power. But what if you have a lot of background noise going on, like I have right now, and you need to blank that out? You might need to turn up your speaker to make that background noise quieter. Now, let's go a step further. Say the person transmitting is transmitting in a noisy environment. If the airways are traveling and passing through inclement weather, power lines, before it gets to you, and you're picking up static and crackle, and the audio is getting difficult to hear, the next step is getting a powered speaker that has logic in it, a digital signal processor. This is a smart chip that sole job is to analyze wave patterns and to decide what is a constant tone that needs to be removed, such as line static, and start trying to remove the unwanted audio, so that what you end up hearing is basically the deviation or speech. And these are not cheap. I've been looking around, and the cheapest ones I found are in the $160 range from a company called Hear It. It's a Gap Hear It speaker. And then they go up from there, and they cruise up over $200 very quickly. If you're interested, this is something to look for. I'll break and see if anybody has any questions.
Yeah, Jim, I don't hear anybody out there with questions. One question back to you now. Are these chips something that you would actually build a project around, or is it plug and play, or what is that? Is that actually a component that we need to actually put into you know, like a circuit board and a box and all that good stuff? Back to you, Jim.
Another good question, and it leads right into my next comment, and that is that you can go to Ham Radio Outlet and purchase that this already built, hamradio.com. There's one that Mike likes. West Mountain Radio has CLR speaker, clear speech, this digital signal processing with amplification already built. But if you're a project person, it is possible to get the parts and build a kit. And there is a person who is featured in QST often who has a propensity for building really neat kits. And one of them is a DSP speaker. Now, this was featured in November of 2011, but he has a website. He's KG4JJH. That's Kilo Golf 4 Juliet Hotel. And he has a ton of items. And one of them is a really neat looking DSP speaker, and the most expensive component in his list is a $135 DSP chip, and right now I'm having trouble actually finding that in the United States. It seems to be in the UK. Back to you, Tom.
You know, and also I might add that there's a lot of information out there besides the ARRL, who's the which is where we get our QST and all the good stuff there. But there's a whole sister organization over there in England, the UK, and they have also a lot of great amount of articles there. It was the RGGB or something like that. A lot of good stuff there. So do some searching, and like Harold pointed out last week, a lot of other ham radio magazines out there. Google up stuff, you'd be surprised what you're going to get. Anyway, back to you, Jim. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Thank you, Tom. And also, since I'm on his website, that compressor gate limiter expander that is on my radio, which I bought from an audio recording store, there's a kit on KG4JJH's website where he built a mobile version for his Yaesu FT817, which can be adapted. So these are things that people are looking for, or they wouldn't exist. And now back to the speakers. Let's roll into the headphones, because one of the most difficult things about hearing and contesting, I know because I contributed to some QRM a couple of summers ago, is the QRM, the background noise, that where you're at. And one good way to cut down the background noise is to cover your ears with closed headphones. Now, there's closed and open. Open has a grill for an outward cover, and this allows sound to go through so you can hear what's going on around you as well as hear what's being reproduced in the headphones. And what you want is one that's solid and closed, pretty common, one that covers the ear. Then what comes out of your radio is pretty much all you're going to hear, with heavy attenuation on anything else that could possibly get through. And if you have a nice enough radio, adjust those signal processors, the gain controls, the various sound adjustments, and pretty soon you'll be able to hear more audio clearer than the average person who just turns on their radio and listens to it from a few feet away. Back to you.
You know, also might want to add there, of course, there's many, many videos that are available through the ARRL, and pretty cool stuff at that. But we did have one as a evening out of the movies last year, and it actually was about Prince, one of the de-expeditions down there in Antarctica. And Peter the First or something Island, something like that. Anyway, in the summer, of course, it's still blazing out there with all kinds of snowflakes and wind and fog and more snow, and that's in the middle of summer. But they set up down there, and you would think, how can they even operate? Well, they all have headphones. They're all in the tents down there. They all work next to each other. And with that said, headphones and headset mics basically cancels out all that stuff. So sometimes that's a good thing, especially if you don't need to hear what's going on around you. Of course, if you do, like the wife telling you, get your butt over here, dinner's ready, and you better have headphones on, you can still hear the outside world there. So, but anyway, Jim, good deal. Any recommendations on headphones? Any specific type? I know there's some good ones out there. I've got some older ones here from the old Iron Butterfly, Pink Floyd, and, wait a minute. Okay, that's a long time ago. Anyway, back to you, Jim.
KJ6KDL here with KF6Q and the Tech Tuesday group. Headphones are as selective as people selecting cars. You have to listen to them. And just like microphones, one microphone will work well with your voice and another one will not work that well with your voice. As those of you who followed me to Simplex over a year ago, when I was swapping microphones, we finally found one with the help of everyone that my voice seems to like, and that's the one that's on here, and Rosemary has to live with it. So, and it sounds good on her too. So, but the same thing with headphones. Because of our ears, who knows what we've done with them, our genetics. We may have tuned jet engines or race cars or fired guns without hearing protection, and there are certain parts of our hearing that just doesn't work like it should or like somebody else's. And one headphone will sound too bassy, one will sound too mid-rangey, one will sound too bright, and some of them will actually just feel outright uncomfortable when you wear them. And like I said, Bob Heil, Bob Heil has spent decades perfecting headphones that are good for most people. And so that's, if you just want to buy something out of the box and feel comfortable that you're going to be part of the masses and maybe not one of the few who don't like it, that's the one to go for. Otherwise, you pretty much have to go to an audio store that has headphones and try some on and decide which ones you like and which ones your wallet likes. They get expensive. I have a set of $20 Sennheisers. I have a set of $100 Sennheisers, $200 and $300 Sennheisers, and that's a lot of money for four headphones, but there's a reason why I don't take the $300 ones out with me when I go places. Back to you, Tom.
So, probably a good thing there, like upcoming on Field Day, as it is coming up again this year, as it does every year. Of course, headphones are always great if you're working in a group, if you're working Field Day by yourself. Not such as an important thing, but it is kind of good to get that clarity and focus. One thing to remember is try to get at least an adapter of some sorts, whatever you're going to use, so you use as best you can the both sides of both ears. So you can't, so kind of focus that in your head. I think that helps. And yeah, I think the hearing is gone, Jim, from too much of the Jimi Hendrix. That's what it was. That was the one that did me in. Back to you, Jim.
All right, and thanks for reminding me. That happened with me. I personally, because my ears are aging, and since I've been doing the audio thing for so long, even as my ears are failing, they're probably more critical than the average person, but there are people out there, especially younger, who have better hearing than me. It just turns out that when I get into a noisy environment, a stadium with a crowd, a waterfall, too many conversations, I cannot concentrate on one. And I like to wear both ears covered. And with that Wuxon $135 special, I have a microphone that I use so I can strap the radio to my waist. The headphone jack, that if I don't put a special adapter on it, only one side plays. So I have an adapter to tie the left and right sides of the speaker together. So when I plug those headphones into the microphone, both ears are covered, and then I can get into a noisy environment. If we're doing, we haven't done that since I started, but if we did the Halloween in the street thing again, I could hear the radio a lot better with the ear covers, anything noisy. And I think we're pretty much wrapping this up, Tom. We've gone from the microphone into the radio and from the radio out. So I think we're getting close to the end. Let's see if anybody else has any questions or comments.
Question.
Yes, go ahead, Harold.
Right. I read an article recently, actually, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, that seemed to be a particular hazard for musicians, studio musicians, I kind of say recording musicians, that wearing earbuds continuously, like you see these kids with their MP3 players blasting away inside your ears. Everybody knows that's not good for you, but they said that most of the musicians and performers have severe hearing loss from having the earbuds inside your ear rather than headphones over the outside. I was wondering how accurate that was, 86 mil.
Yeah, that's a very good point there. And you know what? As always, what happens is we invent something, we put it out in the market, and then we find later that it's harmful to our health. Or detrimental to our hearing, or whatever it can be. You know, and actually, I'm going to go back to way back, early 60s, early 50s, as far as sound goes, and a lot of live performances never had as much blasting music. And of course, what the aftermath of that is, well, it was a really cool concert, but I can't hear as well. And what was that you just said? Anyway, Jim, any other comments on the earbuds? Back to you.
Yes, Harold, thanks for bringing that up. I intentionally overlooked even commenting about them, but I probably should have made a comment. Personally, I do not like the in-the-ear speakers. I know they were popular back in the olden days with a little tinfoil diaphragm in the crystal radio days. There was not a lot of power back then from using a germanium diode and a wire stuck in the ground trying to hear AM radio. These days with our amplification, what's happened with the difference between wearing headsets covering the ear on the outside and an earbud going into the ear is the speaker on the outside has a lot more volume to pressurize. And there is, just like any liquid compression, that air compresses, and it doesn't put that much pressure on the ear compared to if you have a smaller speaker stuck in the ear, that noise is being directed down the ear canal, directly focused at the eardrum and really pounding it. There's not a lot of air compression on the ear, and it's very easy, especially on radio, with those of us out there with varying gains, like I did last week. I had my gain cranked up way too high because I went into the simplex and played around and didn't have my settings where they should have been when I came back. If somebody had their earbuds in and I came back transmitting after Tom and Mike and the others that were feeding back, their ears would start hurting, and that's not good. It would still not be comfortable if you had over-the-ear headphones, but at least you can reach up and knock them off your ear a little bit easier, and there's not so much trauma to the ear. And that's important because as the years go on in contesting, you'll be cranking that volume up louder and louder every year to get through and to hear things. So that's a good point. I personally would stay away from those. I know they're small, easy to carry, but there is a problem with focusing that sound directly down the ear. Back to you.
What?
Yeah, was there a breaker in there? All right, evidently not. Anyway, so that's also, you know, those are kind of predominant in the airline industry for the little cute little headphones that you pay an arm and a leg for. And then you take them home. So if you know anybody who flies a lot, you'll have a great collection like I do that you never use. Anyway, anybody else out there with any questions or comments about Jim's topic this night, Jim's topic tonight, please come back to KF6Q in the group.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Jim, you said that there's various, by dollar signs, you were saying that the Sennheiser, you had a $100 pair up to $300. What is the main difference? I know it's a lot of money difference, but what is the main difference to your ears? I'm an old guy with factory ears, but I still really appreciate headphones. But what's the difference? Fill me in on that. I've never had the opportunity to use a really good quality headset. I have a Heil Pro set, but I mean, it's nothing audio like that. Give me some insight into that. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, Mike, you really opened that up. That's like somebody looking at a Karmann Ghia and a Porsche Targa and asking, well, they look about the same. It's just the materials used, the construction. You get frequency response, dynamic range, efficiency of conversion of power from electrical to mechanical, comfort, fit, sometimes the logo that goes on the outside of the headphones. But it's just like if you spent your time in your youth like I did going through those favorite audio stores of the 80s and playing with speakers, those $10,000 planar speakers really did sound great. Could not afford them. And I would go out and I'd buy those cheaper speakers, but I could hear the difference. And some people liked the ones I chose, and some people liked other ones. Some people could just afford them and buy them and say, well, I just bought the best because they cost the most. But really, there is a performance difference, and everybody's ears being different, you may or may not hear the difference, but it's there.
Thanks very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I had some JBL studio monitors when I was younger, and I could tell the difference on those from the other ones, but that's about it. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate that. Back to Tom.
All right, well, good deal. And, one thing to point out there, Mike, and also Jim, which is a well-known fact that as we get older, our upper hearing level does diminish, so... Jim, do you think that's even worth fooling with that? Because basically, like we have talked about, or you have spoke about in the last 3 weeks, is there's that lower mid-range that kind of is really all the information of what we need. So I guess those upper ends are just something that we have to just, as we get older, toss away and say, well, okay, for us, the audio spectrum goes from 20 hertz to 10,000. It's kind of cut in half there. Back to you, Jim.
That does happen. Some of us lose more of our hearing than others for various reasons, genetics or work environment. But at some point, we don't enjoy the same experience. And sometimes we think we're getting older. Hey, these speakers aren't sounding as good as they used to. I think I need to replace them. Well, maybe your ears are going and the speakers are really pretty good. There is a capacitor in there in the crossover that could be going. And we buy speakers that sound better. We're usually buying ones with different sound curves in them. And I just have to say this. I have had experiences with people who have had their hearing tested, and we know the cutoff ranges of their hearing, and still there is some subliminal experience with higher frequencies, even though the inner ear hairs are damaged and the frequencies aren't going to the nerves, there is a better presence. I do have a homemade speaker project that I did. Bought an amplifier kit, threw it in an old speaker box, threw in some TV speakers, some little oblong ones, and I added a tweeter that I had hanging around from the olden days because I used to burn up tweeters a lot in DJ days. It is a really nice studio cobalt diffuser. It's on there, plays music really well, and I leave it on the scanner in the kitchen, tuned to the K6BB repeater, and if I cover my hand over that tweeter, there it plays just enough higher than those TV speakers that I can tell. Those speakers are supposed to go to 15 kilohertz, I know they don't, because that crossover is set for about 5 kilohertz, and there's still something coming out of them, and the repeater is tuned to roll off at 5, so go figure.
You know, and here's another thing, too, that as we're talking about DSP and roll-off frequencies and whatnot, good example, and I'm not sure of all the details of this, but I know that some time ago, and actually quite a long time ago, my father, who was wearing hearing aids, the hearing aids were custom designed for the frequency spectrum. His hearing at very low frequencies was almost normal, but at way below mid-range, it would fall off drastically and then just disappear to almost nothing. It still was something there. So these hearing aids, which ran about somewhere between $1,200 to $1,500 each, basically had a built-in filtering, or wouldn't call it actually DSP, but something to that nature. So even hearing aids have been designed around that, and hopefully the prices have come down. There's also, I've heard of other people having the same thing, and what they do is they measure your hearing and where it falls off, and then they design the boost inside there based on that. So pretty cool stuff. So DSP actually, or filtering and boosting, actually go well beyond even just what we hear with speakers. Back to you, Jim, and any other questions out there, please feel free to address Jim.
Okay, well, my last closing thing, this is something I just stumbled across right before Tech Tuesday started. It kind of falls into last week, but I found a company called SSB USA that makes a digital signal processor for your microphone called the Lingua, L-I-N-G-U-A. It's not a cheap board. It looks like it's pre-assembled in a box. Runs on 12 volts DC for $315 and has this really cool Texas Instruments DSP chip. And Tom, I'm going to zoom into that, see if I get that part number later for us. And they show a little graph that looks like my cool edit program that I use to edit our Tech Tuesdays, and shows all this spurious static and noise in a waveform in the first half of the screen, and then this really dinky waveform with none of the spikes in it right after. So it's showing that it's taking out noise. I do that after the fact on pre-recorded audio. This is doing it real time. I don't know if it's worth the money because I just ran across it, but it's kind of neat to check it out. So anyway, I will pause, see if anybody asks any questions, and if it's dead air, back to you. And we'll have to remind everybody that I'm recording this, and that you can find these recorded on our website for those of you who just get knocked out by Mexico and have to skip these once in a while.
All right, Jim, well, I think we've got pretty much everything covered there, and I really want to thank you again for the last 3 weeks of putting all this stuff together. Great wealth of information, and I know that you're skimming over a lot of some really important details, which otherwise we would be here on and on, but be a great education, of course. And anyway, of course, as we always do, we try to pull out of the QST magazine, and we did do batteries part one last month sometime, but I don't see batteries part two yet, so maybe it didn't make this issue. I'm not sure. But we will be getting back to that, actually, and going on to a lot of other stuff with Field Day coming up. A lot of cool stuff. Interesting to note, some of the rules have changed this year in Field Day, and make a comment on that in just a minute. But let's do one last call. Any questions or comments, please come back for Jim or myself on Tech Tuesday and the group.
Comment.
Go ahead, comment.
Yeah, being a novice at Field Day and wearing headphones, just a suggestion, if you have a lot of noise in the background, even though you're wearing headphones. Just turn your head and tell them to shut the heck up. A lot of times that'll take out all the background noise, or at least most of it, and you won't have the problems hearing through the headphones.
That is true. However, make sure that your headphones are the type that actually isolate everything, and then, of course, all the background goes away. And anyway, this year, provided we get our location that we're looking at, we will have people spread out very far, still within the 1,000-foot radius, and I doubt we will have any audio interference that way, so should be good. Anyway, with setup, giving us a little more time, can set up a little bit earlier, that's pretty cool. So if you're going to be doing field day out there this year, check out the new... download the new sheet from the ARRL, it's free, and you'll see that a couple of things have changed, not much, pretty neat though, and actually just to make it a little bit more fun, not so hectic. So anyway, alrighty, well, Jim, thanks again, and we'll get ready to close Tech Tuesday. Alright, want to thank everybody who participated and listened to our little topic this evening. Appreciate that. Mike, thanks for all your help out there. And Jim, a lot of work you've done putting this all together. Appreciate that. So hopefully we'll get together and do more articles like this and get some good information out there. All right, well, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control, for the Tech Tuesday Net. And we'll be closing the net at 1,900 hours and 52 minutes. Thanking everybody again for joining us, and please join us again next Tuesday at 1900 hours right here, and returning the repeater back to normal use. KF6Q.